Pasuk Vav. Rabbi Avraham ben Hagra, Beur, Rabbi Avraham ben Hagra, 556 on the bottom left, Yiskar Adidav, Yikoshlu Bahalichasam, Yimaru Choymosam, Huchan Hasoychech. Perush, Kol Kach, Yiplu Emo Vafachad Alanshin in Ve, Vichel Melech Ashur. There will be an enormous amount of fear and terror that will be cast upon the people of Nineveh. To the degree that if one person will remember the adirav shel tsarav miyad yikoshlu b'haldichasam, they will stumble. So what has he done over here in these few words? He has come to disagree with every single commentary on the page. We learned until now yiskar adirav with the subject of yiskar adirav, who was the king of Ashur. The king of Ashur here is coming to put confidence that he will succeed because he has very, very good army. Or as we learned in the Targum, he will appoint generals, officers, strategists in order to proceed and go to the battlefield. Along comes the parish of Rabbi Avraham ben Hagra. He says, nope, you got it all wrong. The subject of Yiskar Adirav is not the king of Ashur. It is the people of Ashur. The people of Ashur and the Adirav are not the soldiers, the mighty men of the kingdom of Ashur, but instead they are the enemy, the Nebuchadnezzar's strong men. And when a citizen of the land of Ashur, of Nineveh, recalls, sees the image on his screen of a soldier, a mighty warrior of Nebuchadnezzar coming forward, marching forward to attack Nineveh, Yikoshlu, the people of Ashur, they collapse. They stumble b'halichasam, they're so overcome with terror, with fear, they can't even walk in the street. Yikoshlu about today, they're living in a very frightening time. Someone went on the train yesterday, on the subway, and someone began to cough on the subway. And he said to me, when the person coughed on the subway, it was worse than if a person would have opened up a grenade, pulled out the pin, and held it in his hand. Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he said to me. I'm telling you a fact. A person was on the packed subway. This is what he said to me. Okay, stupid or not, but that is what is going on today. Whose fault is that? Well, there was a clip. Okay, we can put the blame on a lot of people. Who's the blame? Why people are?
Never blame God. That's the important.
Whatever it is, but look at this. Look at such a thing. It's not a joke.
Go back home.
Someone went and coughs on the train. Everyone is taken aback, like, oh no, I'm being infected.
With
the virus. What?
Did he cover his mouth?
I don't know. He didn't tell me about it. He didn't tell me. I don't know. All he told I told you it wasn't. He told me this fellow. I know. I learned with at night. He's on the train. He says someone coughed on the train, on the subway, the New York City subway, and there was the train was crowded, and everyone was quiet and looked and moved back. Pachad pechad. Okay, so here, look at this. Yiskar Adirav, according to Rabbi Avraham ben Hagra, you're sitting at home and you're looking at your screen, your computer screen, or you're watching whatever television, and you see the enemy is coming close. You see the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar. You see them in motion. Yikoshlu b'halichasam, all of a sudden you can't even walk to the bathroom. You trip. You melt. You melt in pachad. And you can't even walk forward. You stumble. This is how he learns Shah in the Pasuk. No one said anything like this because everyone put the focus of these two words on the king of Ashur and the Adirav were the soldiers and warriors of the country of Nineveh, not of the enemy. He's flipping everything upside down. Further, next.
At Shamu Amun Yigrozin.
Sham, yeah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyeh bidvarai.
Rabbi Lau said, don't kiss the mezuzah.
Yeah, I told you that yesterday. You're really loud. Even a civil guy like me can tell you that. Don't even touch the mezuzah. Don't even touch them. Don't kiss the mezuzah.
He said it as a psak halacha.
Psak halacha. Psak halacha. Not to kiss the mezuzahs. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Ger Rebbe said this how many years ago? At least 10 years ago.
Yeah, long time ago.
The Ger Rebbe said 10 years ago, at least 10 years ago, also psak halacha. Don't kiss the mezuzah. Mm-hmm. Don't touch the mezuzah.
Really?
Yeah. You can reflect. That's what it says in the Rambam. That's what it says in the Gemara. It doesn't say anywhere in Chazal, anywhere, to touch or kiss the mezuzah. The only one that says this is the Arizal. And the Shulchan Aruch, in Yerideya, Hilchas Mezuzah, on the bottom left, I looked it up once, on the bottom left in teeny little letters, it says there, it brings down B'Shem the Arizal. I don't remember which one of the commentators. It says, B'Shem Arizal, a person Menashek Es HaMezuzah. When he goes in and out.
Okay, this is
It's from an Arizal. Now, an Arizal is Divrei Kabbalah, and it's beautiful, and Halavai.
So I would say, what we should do is make sure everybody does it.
Wow.
Maybe not enough people are not kissing the mezuzahs in their own place.
If we all be contaminated, then everyone's the same. We don't have to worry about.
I think it's a good idea.
Okay, weiter. Now, this is not a shiur on Corona. Let's go weiter. Let's go weiter.
In China, they don't have a mezuzah.
How do you know?
All right, whatever it is, it is what it is. Okay, I spoke to someone who works in the hospital. He said to me, he says to me, just wash. Only thing a regular person can do is just wash your hands more often than you ordinarily would.
With soap.
Okay, with soap, or buy Purell if you could afford. Buy the.
Keep your hands away from your mouth.
What?
Keep your hands away from your mouth
and eyes.
Keep your hands away from your mouth.
What about the nose?
Keep your eyes away.
Right. Keep your hands to yourself. That's the main side. Keep your hands to yourself. Don't be an octopus.
I was collecting stock control today.
This would have saved the world. Rabbi would have learned to keep the hands to himself. There would never have been any movement. There wouldn't be all these laws.
Before this year is over, we're going to solve all of the world's problems.
Rabbi, I was collecting stuff from Pushka today, and I realized every dollar bill can be transferred.
Of course.
It's like crazy.
Of course, and they say almost every...
That you should wash your hands after dealing with money.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they say it's the fact that almost every $20 bill has trace of cocaine.
Right.
Really?
That's a fact. Yes. That's a fact.
Everyone take it out and sniff.
Every $20 bill has trace of cocaine. The ruba de ruba. Okay, that's the way. So it goes to show. You know. So what's the difference if it spreads this way? This spreads that way. It's all the same. It's all the spread.
Well, that's how people get colds, probably, through all these methods that they're telling us now to get.
Okay, fine.
Well, colds are the body's immune is able to overcome and conquer the virus. This the body it seems like is not used to. Is not able to deal with this. Something which is new to the body. The body is not yet adapted.
I have a question here. Are we ready to learn Torah?
Yes, let's learn. Okay, we gave an illustration. We gave an illustration of Yizkor Adiro. Okay, Rabbi said, please. Okay, Mr. Plotnik, please. We have to lessen the comments. Okay, let's go. Yizkor, please, come on. Enough. Yizkor Adiro. Let's go further in the Armin and Ben Agra. Yizkor is Echad Adiro Shel Tzara Miyad Yikosh Velichasim Lechen Yimara Chaymos. I'm up to the fourth line down. Yemar choymosa shel ninvei shelo yagia lochem berak hacherev v'hashonun, and therefore they will run to the wall of ninvei, that they should not be shelo yagia lochem berak the blade of hacherev hashonun, the sharpened sword. The word shonun means sharpened. Cherev is sword. Berak is the blade.
The flash.
Okay, the sharp point. The flash, the sharp point of the sharp sword, and because of the arrows that they should not yishlitu. Yizruku hamaginim, they will throw yizruku hamaginim shemafridim oisam mimare lapidim shel esh pelada sarechef. And so that they should not be victims of the arrows. The Magina means the bearers of the shields, Shemafridim Oysami Mare Lapidim, which separate them from the Mare, the appearance of torches, of fire. Pelodai Sarechev. I'm not sure what that means.
Well, they're talking about retreating inside the wall to protect themselves
from the onslaught. Okay. Ella Vuchan Hasoichech Shal Eitzim Shiyogenu Aleya Mehachitzim. Okay, they're seeking shelter. This part is pretty straightforward. They're pretty straightforward. The people there, they're terrified. Yiskar Adirab, when they see the enemy coming, they're terrified. Yikosh Malichasam Yimaru Chaymas. So they run into security, into the walled city. Vuchan Hasoichech, they prepare a defensive. They try to go into the bunker to protect themselves. Pasuk Zayin. Shari Hanahoros Niftachu Abahechol Namoeg Yadua. The island cities, Cyprus, okay, these island cities, they do not have walls, they're open cities. And it's very easy for the enemy to attack and overcome islands. Because unlike a city on in the mainland, on the motherland, which has walls, but the cities or the settlements on islands were never surrounded by a wall. Yeah. So they were vulnerable. And therefore, umidaga midavar, and because of the they were worried, Islam Sha'arim Bayam, they made gates in the sea, the Him Khritzim Yudalim Sava Medina, they made ditches around the Medina, Im Sham with gates. And when the enemy comes, they open up the gate. Okay, so now we finally have an interpretation which comes to explain what it means over here, this idea of niftuchu, the gates are open, in a much more sophisticated form. It was a technique that was done to flood, to drown the enemy. It seems like there was a dam. Basically, they created some type of dam, and obviously, and you're on an island, it's not a real dam, there's no river, it's on an island. But they somehow manipulated the flow of water, it's not exactly clear, in such a way that when the enemy would approach and could come upon the island, they would open up this...
Open the floodgates,
and the enemy would drown in this massive flood. And that's what they did. The enemy would drown. However, this was a bit suicidal. Okay, we have to go have a documentary to see this technique. Obviously, it's something very complicated. I mean, certainly, you probably can go online, you can probably find something over to explain this technique. But in the process of doing so, it would be suicidal because the country would also partially be flooded. So you didn't want to do this unless it's the last resort. The last resort was, we're going to have to go and damage ourselves, cause injury to our own land for the better good of obliterating the enemy. The Einam Oisim Zois Acha Govar Ho Oyev, until the enemy prevails. The Einam Oisim Lios Tachas Yodu, they don't want to suffer defeat. And then Oz Oimim, then they say, Tomus Navshim Oyev, it's better we should die. It was Tomus Navshim Plishtim, it's suicidal. But it's not totally suicidal because there will be some survivors that will live to rebuild the country. V'ze Amrei, Ninveh Hoysa B'Lev Yamim. Ninveh was in the Lev Yamim. Kasha Yavar Lev Tzai V'Oyev Yimaru Choy Masu V'Vuchan HaSeichech Gam Shara Nacharos Niftachu Lishtoif Es Oyev, to drown the enemy. Aval Gam Heichol HaMelech Noma Gimoyim. Okay, very fascinating shot. But what's the consequence? The consequence is that the palace will also be destroyed. The only way we can survive is by opening the floodgates, and the consequence will be that the heichol, the palace, namoig, in this context, will melt, which means it will also be flooded, and everyone inside will drown. And for the better good, it's worthy that there be this sacrifice of these people who are in this location, so that the country can live for another day, to survive another day.
The Russians did in World War II to prevent the Germans.
Scorched earth policy.
Correct.
It's called the scorched earth policy.
They burned their own city to the ground.
Right. In order not to give
the Germans had nothing to resupply. Nothing.
Scorched earth policy. You destroy your own weapons, your own things. They should not be nanda. Like you always see in the news, even in recent times, is where if the United States, they send in a drone, or they send in a fighter jet, very expensive piece of equipment, and it crashes. So what's the first thing they do? First, they try to find survivors, you know, to get their people, and then they'll send in, they'll risk their lives to send in a team to destroy the airplane that has crashed, electronics, because in that device, that reconnaissance device, or that F-16, there's a lot of intelligence, there's a lot of technology, and they do not want the enemy to get their hands on, so they'll risk their lives to go on these very, very dangerous missions to destroy their own weapons. 9/11, not 9/11, when they killed Osama bin Laden, if you read the gory detailed report, they came in with two helicopters, and they came in with two helicopters to his compound, where they knew he was hiding out, and one helicopter basically crash landed. Okay, they went very quickly. They wanted to get their 1-2-3, and it was a hard landing. No one was hurt. The soldiers were okay, but the helicopter basically, what they call a hard landing, which means the helicopter was no longer functional. It basically crashed on the compound. So all of the soldiers had to go onto the other helicopter, which safely landed. But in the meantime, they couldn't get the helicopter out of there. So before they left, or after they left, they destroyed it. And obliterated that helicopter, which obviously had a lot of intelligence, a lot of technology, and did not want to get their hands on. So it's exactly, all of these things are nothing new. This all goes back to ancient times. And Haris Niftachu, they're gonna scorched earth policy. The consequence is that the Heichel is also going to melt. Okay, so we have over here incredible chidushim. These are new ideas. New ideas that are Rabbi Ben Agra is telling us that are novel. It's not just another repetition. A lot of these, what's very fascinating about these people over here is that each one of the Mefarshim is so different. Now, sometimes it's like a lot of repetition. The Mitzudai says this, and Rashi, and the Radak. Everyone really says the same thing. It's just the way they say it, the words are, one is a little more eloquent, more elaborate, one adds another small nuance, little point. Here, the commentators on the page, each one looks at this pasuk in an entirely different world. You're getting over here like a completely different version of the story, of what's going on over here.
Because they lived at different times, they had a different approach.
Right, of course, right. And there's a lot of psukim also allow, they're all true. Elu v'elu dirilukim chayim, the psukim also allow themselves, the way the psukim are structured, it's done with a lot of nevuah, this the chachma, to allow themselves to be interpreted in this fashion. Let's see pasuk, next pasuk ches on the next page, on page 5, 5-8. V'hutzav gulusa ho'ala v'am ho'isecha min ha'gois k'kol yonim b'seifos al-levei atzuli perushim. The queen, most of the commentators are referring to the queen, and we had two perushim as to why it's the queen, either because shagal, nitzva li mincha, or the word v'hutzav lashon of eglas tzav, covered. A queen sat in a special, beautiful chair that had a canopy upon it. Here, let's see, then we had other parish, the word that the hutsav means the government. It does not mean the queen, it means the government. Now let's see what he says. Hutsav, golsav, holosav, v'am hoisech, managos, kekol yoinim, misefas al levehon, parish, kolkach, govar, shedef, ketzav, amayim. This a continuation, he learns, from the previous pasuk. The flood is so great. Ad shegulois ilis v'gulois tachtis. These are the upper. This is the very famous pashevtim. The gulois means the springs, the upper springs and the lower springs. Okay, we have to bring in an expert in geology, to tell us what these things are. But these are upper springs and lower springs. Shenasu lahashkois sidoi sehen be'amas hamayim, which were made to water the fields with irrigation canals. Shaholchim l'chol sodeh v'sodem. V'chol ha'shonim niskudu. Ha'gulois v'nitz. Here's the key word. Upper and lower. I don't know what this means. What? We had this in the dream. In the dream where I was standing and I saw above me. I was tachtis and I saw this something, an ilus above me. Okay, there was a gemara.
This is a concept.
Upper and lower. Okay, in a chanami, the oilam ha'elyon, the oilam tachtain. Yushalayim shel Maila, Yushalayim shel everything. Everything is parallel worlds. Parallel worlds. So in the here we have over here, springs. Okay, this something appears to be something that is true in the physical world. There are different types of springs. There are upper springs and lower springs. I have no idea what this is. It says in the Pasuk in Shoftim, is this something only unique to that context of that story there? Or is this something that's universal that a geologist will come and explain to you the topography of the land and how all these things works? I have no idea. But in any event, he's throwing out words. There are springs in the earth. And it says, if Cholashon Niskeru Hagulois Vinitzovim Hamayim Bimekoimim. That's our key word. Nitzov. The whole year, the springs are shut, are closed. And that forces the water to stay put. Do you remember when the Gulf of Mexico, when they were digging for oil and they opened up the ground and they polluted the Gulf of Mexico and they could not get it, they cannot cork it shut. Okay, the whole world was worried, what's going to be? The whole world coming to an end, and also every day the world's coming to an end. Not one thing, something else, right? And there's nothing they can do to get to stop the gush of oil coming out of the earth. Until finally, someone was able to stick a cork. So that's exactly what this is over here. That's oil. But besides the oil, there's also water. There are springs of water. And if you go and you break open the rocks in the wrong place, you can flood the whole world. And we have the story with David HaMelech. When David HaMelech was building the Beis HaMikdash, it says in Chazal, whether this is to be taken literally or it's more of a metaphor, I have no idea. But when David HaMelech was building the Beis HaMikdash, what happened? They dug all the way down to bedrock, it says, and they dug too far, and a spring burst forth, a spring of water burst forth, and threatened to flood the entire world. That's what it says. Again, is this something that's happened in the world of reality, or is this a spiritual concept hidden in words that we can relate to? I do not know. And what was the end of the day? David asked, anyone that knows what the halacha is? And someone came along and said, learn from a soita. Ma, doch, when it comes to a soita, you're allowed to go and erase the name of Hashem in order to bring peace between men and a woman. So certainly, to save the world, you are allowed to erase the name of Hashem, to put the Shem Hashem, to write, take a piece of paper, and to write Hashem's name on this piece of paper, and to put it into this hole where the water is gushing, in order to calm the water down, it should not flood the world. This is a Gemara. So what do you take out of that story? You take out a lot of things, but for our purpose, there is such a thing that if you open up the wrong, you dig in the wrong place, you'll destroy the world. There are springs that are pressurized, the water is contained, and you want to keep the waters neat, soft. You want them to stay put. But when the enemy is attacking, and you want to engage in scorched earth policy, then you have no choice but to pull out the cork and let these waters, these springs, flood the earth to drown the enemy, even though the consequence will be that you'll also drown your own people.
V'nitzavim ha'mayim
b'mekoyim.
That's
pshat of
Vayisachu Mayinos
the home. It was...
They opened it up,
and then they closed it.
Spots around the world, Rashi says, right? In Bereishit.
Tohaim Rabbah. And the only one that he did not close was one that he left.
Tveria.
Tveria, because the world needs those waters for healing purposes. Only at the time when they hiskalus hashlochin, the irrigation canals, they opened up these springs. An amazing technique. You see, they're better than Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, they had to pray and worship the Nile, an idol. They viewed the Nile to be an idol, and they worshiped the Nile so that it should overflow. And it should go and irrigate, the water should overflow from the Nile and go into the irrigation canals and water the land. In Nineveh, they were worse. Because Nineveh, they didn't even need to worship the Nile. All they needed to do was just open up whenever they wanted. It's now the season when we're ready for irrigation, so you just pull the plug. You pull the plug and the springs, the natural springs come up and they flow into the irrigation canal and it waters the land. And then when there's enough water, they close the plug. Amazing, that's what it says, that was their technique. Rak be'ez hiskalus hashlochim le'edlin v'yizkim sagulos v'ez ha'hi avur shamayim al tzavor yechetzeh. The water passes, avur means the water passes, ad tzavor yechetzeh, until it comes, there's an expression in Yeshaya, which means the neck, half of the neck. I don't know what this means. It's an expression which means that it waters the land. V'yishtoif gam es hagulois. It also waters the other spring. Okay, there are different springs. One is watered from the other, it appears. V'zehu, now we have a better understanding of this pasuk here. V'hutzav gulusa ho'alosa. Davar ha'metziv es ha'gulois. The item, the stopper, the plug that is metziv, it holds back es ha'gulois, the spring. V'secheres pia, and shuts its mouth. Now, ho also mimikoimai has been removed, has been pulled up from its hole. Al yidei mayim shaitfim, due to the flooding waters. The oz minahagois, the mayim makes sound. Bekol gadol l'soich amos hamayim b'hacharitzim, to the irrigation canal. As we mentioned many times, that water is the loudest liquid. We always come back to this yisoid. Kol Hashem al hamayim. Kol Hashem al mayim rabim. Every liquid produces a different decibel level. Which one is the loudest? Water. Which one is the quietest? Shemen. Olive oil produces the least sound, if maybe no sound at all. What about wine? Wine has sound. What about milk? Milk makes noise. Orange juice, you name it. Apple juice, every liquid, whether it's natural or not, makes noise when it flows. The only one that does not make noise when it flows is oil. In New York City, you know, New York City, PVC is illegal. You know what PVC is?
Yeah.
PVC is plastic. It's a plastic. In every single state in the country, if you want to use in your home or in any building PVC for piping, for what? Gesundheit. It's permitted. Permitted, and it's much better. A plumber will any day will want to use PVC versus using cast iron, because it's a piece of cake. You can do a whole house in one day. If you want to use cast iron, you have to thread it. It weighs a ton. It's very expensive. So why in New York City is PVC illegal?
Union.
Illegal. So the cast iron, the unions, they need parnassus, the cast iron people. That's probably the real reason. But the other reason, because it makes a lot of noise. PVC makes a lot of noise. When water, you flush the toilet in the building, that's all PVC. The whole building hears you flush the toilets. Really, it's true. Go to the bungalow colonies, they're all PVC. And you go, you hear the sound going to the pipes. Cast iron, you don't hear a peep. You don't hear one sound. Okay, so there's a lot of chokhmah in sound. And here, mamish what it says here, when the water flows, when you pull out the cork, and the water begins to flow from the earth through the irrigation canals, you'll know about it. You'll hear it. You'll hear the roar of the water. And that's what it says, Minahagois. You ever see the picture people go to Niagara Falls? They're wearing air protection. Why wearing air? It's not a factory. This is not a Schlachtois. there's no machinery at the Niagara Falls. It's very loud because the sound of the water, Kol Hashem Alamayim. Okay, it's kedai just to go to Niagara Falls. So when you say every Shabbos, Mizmor LeDavid, and you say Kol Hashem Alamayim, it will never be the same. It will never be the same saying that Mizmor when you come to the Pesukim that Kol Hashem Al Hamayim, to get an appreciation that Mayim makes a lot of noise. Oil doesn't make any noise. Rashbi, we saw this, Rashbi, Shemen Sosoin Mecha Ve'Recho. Why is he called Shemin Sasain? Because when he says something, everyone is quiet. Chazal say that the Chorosh v'Hamasker. Why were the Talmidei Chachamim in the eyes of Chazal called the Chorosh, a craftsman? Al Tikri Chorosh, Ela Cheresh, a deaf mute. When a Talmud Chacham would open their mouth and say words of wisdom, everyone was silent. They were in awe of the brilliance and of the powerful arguments of the Talmidei Chacham, and they became deafening silence. So Rashbi is praised as Shemen Sosoin Mechaverecha. You are like Shemen Sasan. You are like special, beautiful oil, much more so than your friends. What in the world does that mean? Didn't you ever wonder what that means? So simply, you take it to mean like you're anointed. You're special. You're anointed. We're going to give you some nice oil. We're going to smear it on your face like you're anointed king. The kings were anointed. So you take some oil and you smear it on you. But Rashbi is not a king. So you'll say, Man Malke Rabbanan, okay? But another level it means is that you are the true Talmud Chacham, because a real authority, you know, think about this, a very deep idea, has the ability to silence someone else. Okay, that's a very powerful concept. The one who is the boss is the one who has the ability to silence someone else. Okay, the mafia, they're the boss. Because if you don't do what they say, they silence you. You know what that means? The ultimate silence. But that's the terminology. People who are out of line have to be silenced. So the one that is the boss is the silencer. And that's an old concept. That comes from Chazal. They stole that from Chazal. HaChorosh veHamasker. The Chorosh, the Talmud Chacham, is called the silencer. He has the last word. Everyone else, quiet. He's the boss. He has the last word. And Shemen Sosoin Mechaverecha is an idea which captures that principle as well. Because oil doesn't make any noise when it flows. In contrast to other liquids which make noise, and the one that makes the most noise is Mayim. And yet, look, the Ribbono Shel Olam is compared to Mayim. Torah is compared to Mayim. Why is that so? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koyach is to allow everyone to have a voice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, call Hashem al HaMayim. Hashem wants to hear from us. He does not want to silence us. And the proof is, Vayipach be'apov nishmas chayim. Hashem himself gave every single person the ability to talk. The way Hashem made this world was, Hashem blew the spirit of life into man's nostrils. Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya, or ruach mimalilo. Hashem created man to talk. So Hashem is associated with noise. That's why call Hashem al hamayim. But a Talmud Chacham, when we focus on a Talmud Chacham from this respect, that his decision, his word is final, it's compared to oil, Shemen Sasa Mechaverecha. Chanukah is all about oil, because finally we were able to silence the opposition, the Misyavnim. The Talmidei Chacham were finally able to quiet them down, all the troublemakers. The troublemakers were silenced. And he gives his whole new appreciation, because if you know about Chanukah, Chanukah is not about the Jews against the Goyim. That's incorrect. That's what they tell you in Shiva Gidet in the kindergarten, that the Jews were fighting a war against the Syrian Greeks. It's not correct. It was a civil war. The miracle of Hanukkah was Jew against Jew. The religious Jew versus the secular Jew. The secular Jew prevailed at that time, and they dominated, and they were crushing the religious Jew. Because the secular Jew was on board with the Syrian Greeks. They adopted their culture. They lived their life. So they wanted everyone to share in that life, and they wanted to silence the religious Jew. The miracle of Chanukah was where the religious Jew prevailed upon the secular Jew. Both, unfortunately, there was good and bad. I mean, the secular Jews, you see today that Chanukah is a holiday which touches the heart of people who are not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. So in a very good way. But also, it was obviously during that time, there were certainly Korbanos, people, Jews, that were irreligious, that were unfortunately silenced to an extreme. So now, with this idea, this is a good idea to the appreciation of the Amos Secha. So he's trying to teach something very powerful. The Amos Secha means what? You have to get a clear translation. Amos Secha means the rivers or the canals. The Amos Secha, he learns, means the Oz Menagois. Menagois means it makes noise. So he doesn't really translate the word. The word clearly of Amoisecha, I think he means let's just go back one line above, but Amas Hamayim, Amas. I think what it appears to say is the word the Amoisecha. The word Amoisecha in the translation of Rabbi Avraham Ben Agra means the Amas Hamayim, Amas. There's an Aleph, a Mem, and a Sof. Happens to be there's a hey in the middle. The hey in the middle is a vowel. It's not really here as part of the shoresh. What is an amma? Maybe not. Maybe an amma. What is an amma? Amas hamayim. It means an irrigation canal. Why is an irrigation canal called an amma or an amas? Because it was typically one amma wide. Okay, the width of the industry standard was one amma wide for your irrigation canal. In plumbing, there are industry standards. Okay, toilet has to have a 3-inch pipe. Water has to have, everything has no, there are industry standards in the sizes of all different types of plumbing. So I'm into, the reason why I'm telling you all this is because I took a tour 2 days ago of a new mikvah, I hang out in a Shvidman shul. And they demolished the mikvah because it got to the point where it was just intolerable. So I don't know where they stole the money for this. Beats me. Where they were able to dig up the money for this. Someone gave them, I don't know who, I know who gave the money. Someone gave the money. I don't know where he got the money from, but he gave a lot of money. And I got a tour, fascinating beyond belief, of how a mikvah is constructed. This mikvah was made. What? Could be it's too late now. Could be everything already is covered. Could be it's a good idea, but I don't think it's a good idea though. It's a small space. It's a construction site. There are workers there. It's dangerous. Not clean. I don't think it's a good idea. It's not a good idea. But anyway, I got a tour and it's very very fascinating. They showed me all the pipes, all the different pipes. All the different things for the all the boyrois. There's a bar gabi. There are two boyrois. Bar gabi bar. And there's a regular bar, and then there is the zeichlin, and there is the bar the hashaka, and there's the filter, and there is the fresh tap water, and the water which comes from the roof, which is the mikvah water, and then there are new showers, and then there is this and there's that, and they're explaining to me, and the person was explaining everything in detail and talking rapid fire. And 3-inch pipe, 2-inch pipe, 1-inch pipe, 1/2-inch pipe, all these pipes, PVC, this is illegal, but we're doing it anyway, because we have no choice, and it's underground, it's going to be covered by cement, so therefore it's the ideal thing to do, and whatever, all is very, 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 very fascinating. So in any event, an amas hamayim is called an irrigation canal. It's called an am because the industry standard was one ama, and it's very novel. The am hoisecha min hagois. Who would ever believe such a translation of these two words, which nobody on this page even came near? The irrigation canal made a lot of noise when the water flowed through the pipe. Through
safety
the canal.
Inspectors in the plants that go around, 20 years ago, they mandated over 90 decibels the workers had to have earplugs.
That, you know what that means? That whenever you go to a wedding, it's not over 90 decibels, it's only like 200 decibels.
No, it's not 200, but it's quite loud. I mean, 130 is really, you'd be surprised how loud that is, you know?
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
But I've been to weddings where they handed out earplugs. They had it on the table.
Out of their mind, these people. They're literally, literally, they are a danger to society. These bans should be, really, there should be regulation.
It's the balabus who hired.
So they're irresponsible. The government, let's not get discussed this now, it's not sure on bans and noise, but the government should get involved and it should be illegal. It should be illegal.
I don't need the government involved. You need the balabus to have brains.
Well, they don't have brains.
Well, no one's telling them. All the people on top of the Aaron Kodesh, no one's telling them.
Ain loy moyach bekod kodoy. They are telling them. They don't listen to them.
They're not telling them.
Weiter is not a shear on decibel level. This is a shear nach. Let's go further. It says over here, Ve'am hoyseha minagoy, the irrigation canal, as the water flows through the irrigation canal, it's going to make a lot of noise. Let's finish over here. Okay, davar, v'hutza gulso ho'al, finish off the hutzaf galusa ho alasa davar hametzitz es agulos, the item which, wait, did I skip over here? Let's go down and chest down where it says in bold the beginning of the line, the hutzaf galusa ho alasa davar hametziv, the item that puts in positions agulos, that holds the water of the spring in position, it came off from its location. And then it made a lot of noise into this, the amos hamayim, these irrigation canals. They melted from the terror. Asher pachadu kinoshim, it says here another expression that livevehen is b'loshon nekeva. No one made this point. This loshon nekeva, that the ones who get scared more than are women. Women are emotional, and therefore asher pachadu kinoshim ba'yikosh liyoser, it's saying the men became like women. To quote a person, I'll not say his name, they became girly men. That's what it says here. That's what it says. I'm not making this up. They became girly men.
Someone just quoted from a mission or something that when they were discussing the tefillah, changing dina.
What?
Changing dina.
Dina to, yeah, dina. The tefillah.
It seems that Yosef also was changed. No, I know it's Gemara, but somebody added to it that they each had a little bit of
the opposite gender. Yeah. Yosef was a shtickle, Isha. Had a gene.
They were pregnant at the same time.
Yoiz is the Balbechi. He's saying very good. No, he's saying, I never heard what he said. What he's saying makes a lot of sense. He's saying something brilliant. Let me explain what he said. He's saying over here is that we know that Dina, the Chazal say Dina was a man. Let me put things in perspective. Ben Gurion said that, Golda Meir is the only real man in his cabinet. Got that? It's a very important statement. Golda Meir is the only real man in his cabinet. Dina was the only real man of Yaakov's children. Why? She went out. It says that Dina, Vateitse Dina Basle Lirois Bivinois Aretz. She went out, she was curious. She wanted to see Vostutzach in the Welt. So Shvateitse, she went out into the world to see Vostutzach, what's going on out there. And what happened? Shechem saw this beautiful woman and he abducted her. He raped her. He took her. So what is she doing out there to begin with? A girl doesn't go out. A girl had snail leches, snails. Didn't she go to Beis Yaakov? Didn't they tell her, Beis Yaakov, girl, you lock yourself up behind, you lock yourself up, had snail leches. It's called kivuda bas melech penima. What is she doing in the street? Teretz says, she had in her the midah of a man. Dina was a tomboy. Why? Because originally, Dina was a man. And Leah, Rashi makes a chazal, Leah realized that if she will now have a seventh son, if she will now give birth to a seventh son, that will mean that her sister Rachel, at most, will have only one child, and she will be pachus from the shvachis. She will have less children than Bilhah and Zilpah. Bilhah and Zilpah had two apiece. Bilhah and Zilpah had two apiece. So now, if she's going to have a seventh son, that will only allow Rachel to have one child. So therefore, Leah was mispalel, Ribbono Shel Olam, please change the gender of the baby, the fetus within, to a female, so that she will not be eligible to be one of the Shiftei Kah, to allow my sister Rachel to have two sons that will be part of the Shiftei Kah. Hashem listened to her prayer and miraculously caused that the gender was changed from a male to a female. But Tzvila Chazal say only is oise mechza. There's a principle in Chazal that Tzvila does not go all the way. There's always collateral damage. It's a very scary principle. Tzvila oise mechza. Now, 50% is quite a bit in this world. Okay? You only need 51% to be the President of the United States. You don't need to have the whole world bowing down to you. You just need roif. Tfila oise mechza. Tfila, scary chazal, doesn't do everything. There's some room left over that has to be dealt with when tfila is successful. Just because the prayer is successful, there's still something left over. So just because the gender change operation was successful, okay, notice I changed the word because we should shy away from saying that word in a holy place. Just because the gender change operation was successful, there was some residue of masculinity in the personality, the persona of Dina. And that explains Vateitse Dina, Lirois, Bibinois Aretz.
If I can just get away from this gender discussion, Dina gets her outgoing character from her mother. Okay? That's where it comes.
Leah also went out to see Yaakov.
Oh, Yaakov, Minas Adeba, Erevatetse, Leah Likros, so.
Okay.
That's what the Medrash says.
Okay, you're saying something that is absolutely true. You're saying it's true. I cannot not deny that. But this also is true. This also, this is not my own. This also is something that is said. This also. Now, you, Mark, has now added a whole new chapter to this story. But you just said those few words. Now, what did you just say? This, Zel Uma Zebora Elokim. Originally, let's talk make-believe terms, but I'm saying something very serious. It was meant to be for Rachel to have two children, a boy and a girl. The boy would be Binyamin. He's a real man. Yosef was meant to be a girl. Just like, why was Yosef turned into a male? Because Leah realized that if Dina is going to be a Zohar, then Yosef would be a Nekeva, and we wouldn't know about Yosef. He would be a Nekeva, and whatever, he would not be one of the Shiftei Kah. So Dina made a switch, Leah made a switcheroo. She was mispalel, basically, that her son, Dina, should not be a Zohar, should be a Nekeva. So that Yosef will be a Zohar. But just like when it came to Dina, there was some residue of masculinity left in the neshama of Dina. And that explains why Dina was the only man in Yaakov's home, the real man of Yaakov's home. Likewise, Yosef was a shtickel nekeva. How is he a shtickel nekeva? Misalsel, pretty boy. Misalsel besaroi. He had a shetel. He had a shetel mach appointment, right? He had a shetel appointment. And he was very beautiful, and all the girls, how come all the girls, benois so ada ale shur, why were they all looking at him? Because he was a pretty boy. Is it because he was a man? They don't have their own heart. They were looking, you know, women, who do women look at? Women look at women more than they look at men. I mean, they look at men, they won't get mad. They look at men because, you know, Tyvee, it's a heart, whatever. But women, you know, when a woman looks at another woman, watch, go see how one woman looks at another woman. They scrutinize their own more than they scrutinize the man. Because the man's off limits.
Competition.
Right, a man is off limits. A man is a man. See, you got your husband, or you want to compete. Women are, you know, they're one of their own. They scrutinize. So it's not. It's a whole new dimension in why it says that bonois so adam ale shur. You ask the average person, what is that pasuk mean? Bonois so adam ale shur. So what are they going to tell you? Well, you know, women, they like a good-looking man. They're looking for Prince Charming. Excuse me. They're not eligible to marry Yosef. So what, again, you go out into the street, the person, everyone will tell you, women have a Yetzirah, just like men have a Yetzirah for women. Men are looking at women are looking at men, that's Pshat in the Pasuk. That's how I always understood Pshat in the Pasuk. A woman sees a good-looking man, you know, it's like, you know, that's the way it goes. Okay, this is the world of reality.
Especially when they're unattainable. Yes, there's an attraction.
When they're unattainable?
Yeah.
I don't know. You have to think about that. Now we have a whole new dimension. I'll give you a mashal. Okay, mashal, l'havdil elef alfei avdolos. Kate Middleton, what's her last name?
Middleton.
Who studies Kate Middleton more, men or women?
Women.
Women, it's a fact. The women are, who is more obsessed with her? By far, the margin is probably 90-10. I'm guessing numbers. Do I really care about Kate? I don't care less about her. But I know some from women that go on websites every single day to see what she's wearing today. Okay? I know people that do this. And that's very good. What's wrong? What's wrong? Nothing's wrong. What's wrong? And that's just one person that I know. You can imagine how many people in the whole world. Women are obsessed with her much more than men are.
There's a British reporter who follows Ivanka around and reports on
every item of garment,
whatever she is
wearing, and you name it. So isn't that an insight that women are more? So now when you learn the pasuk bonois so ada ale shur. And you understand what you just said is that in Yosef was a shtickel residue of what was really originally meant for him to be a nikeva. Oh, now it's a whole new pshat in the pasuk. Yosef was a bal bechi. Vayevch, 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 vayevch. Why is Yosef crying like a crybaby? The whole parsha, nonstop. So let me illustrate this with one of the big Greiser Rebbes. I don't know which one they said this. What are they? Was the Belzer Rebbe? I don't know which one of the Rebbes, all from pre generation. He says that they made a shul, and the shul, they made a new base medrash, and it was all ready to go. Only problem was, you know, construction. There's always something that's not finished yet. You have to raise more money until, you know, you put the tiles down, until you get this operational. They did not yet have enough money for the Ezras Noshim. The Ezras Noshim was almost ready, but it was not safe, and they needed more money too. But the men's section was done, so let the men daven there now in the meantime. And then, when the men and the women knew the Frei Arois, they will, the Frei. So knew, so they won't daven in shul, so they'll stay home with, they'll stay anyway, whatever, they'll stay home. He says, no, we're not moving in until the women's section is ready. Why? Because he said, the share demois loy ninalu. The gates of tears today are not sealed. After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, all the gates of prayer are shut with an iron door. No prayers are going up anymore. But the share demois, if your prayer is accompanied by a tear, then we have a special back way entrance for your prayer to get to the Kisei HaKavod. Who cries when they daven? How often do you see a man cry when they daven? Not that often happens, but not that. Women cry. It's part of their DNA to cry. The men need the women in the Ezras Noshim to get a ticket into the Kisei HaKavod during Tefillah. The Share Demois Loi Ninalu. We ain't moving into the new base medish until the Share Demois, until the Ezras Noshim is complete, because we need them. They need the Share Demois. I told you, Avram Shur, he shocked a lot of people last year, 2 years ago, when he sent that emails begging women. Can you imagine this? Unbelievable. Begging women to mamish, begging them to come during Slichos, the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, the week, not during Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, not just Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Please come. Davening is 6:45. The Ezras Noshim is open. Please, women, come daven Slichos with us. You know, any shul in the whole Flatbush where women, we live in a very modern community, right? Where we pride ourselves that we're very good to the women, right? You know, any shul that begs the women to come daven during the week, during Slichos, mamish begs them and tells them that the everything is going to be, you know, a woman comes to shul, most shuls, oh no, who showed up today? We got to pull out the mechitza for you, right? Got to make the mechitza, make everything proper. Everyone has to behave themselves. It's like, oh no, what happened today? And most shuls that I know, you know, they basically shut down the ladies section during the week. And the men take over. And Shabbos, they have to actually clean up and put up a mechitza. And it come out everywhere that I know. That's what they do for the women's section. So therefore, we're coming on you. But what does it say? Yosef is about Bechi. Why is he about Bechi? The residual element of being a Nekeva. Because this was the tefillah of Leah. Okay? So you trigger this topic, and I'm happy we discussed, because that's over here. It says over here, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. We're not all the same. Women's DNA is to be emotional, to be weak, to get scared. Women get scared much quicker than men. They get very nervous when they hear things. They really freak out. And men, they're just like, I don't know, it's like another day at the office, right? That's the nature. And here he makes that point, this very important point. It says here, Avraham ben Hagra, he understood this. He's the only one on the page that makes this point. Take note that it says they're banging on their chest, on their hearts. Livavehen doesn't say livavehem with a mem. It says it with a nun. And misoifefice is that, I'm not sure, I don't know grammar too well, but I'm not sure. But at least livavehen means the feminine form. And it's why? Because a woman gets scared. And here, the pachad of what is now occurring in the city of Nineveh, all of the men are turning into women. To quote a not a person that we should even think about, but they're all becoming girly men. Okay, yes.
Ben Purat Alei'ain. Look what Onkelus says. Read it Barach ki gefen dinitziv al maya. Eshtecha ki gefen poria. Is gefen nekeva or zachar?
Nekeva.
Beri tit achad kmo gefen, he says.
Like a woman.
Ben Purat Alei'ain.
Yosef was a female.
Beri tit barach ki gefen
nekeva al maya. So he's calling Yosef feminine. Okay. Pile Ployim, okay, it's an incredible insight. Now, I'll just tell you another verse. I remember of Chaim Siegel, Zech Tzag Levrach, my rabbi once told me, he said, he had two daughters. He had two daughters, so he told me that Rav Hudna said to him once when his daughters were in Shaduchim, he was looking for Shaduchim. Then I remember he told us to on the way to a Levaya. I remember whose Levaya was. He said that when his daughters were in Shaduchim, Rav Hudna said to him, says in Chazal, Ashrei mi shebonov zuchorim, the oiloi lemisha bonov nikevis. Okay, he had two daughters and no sons. And part of the discussion, so Chazal, fortunate is a person, Shebonov, his sons, are males. The oiloi, woe to a fellow whose Shebonov, which means simply his children, we translate it loosely, the way the common man translates this, whose children, Shebonov, are Nikevois. Okay? You want to have a son. You don't want to have a daughter. You should know, even though in the Goyish world, where today they have the ability to manipulate the genes, the statistics are people much more, they want girls than boys. Okay, that's a very interesting phenomenon. Google this, is that today where people have a choice, and people today, technology, because of the crazy world, has given people the options of gender selection, and the statistics are most people want girls. Would you believe such a thing? Most want girls. But Chazal say, Ashrei, Chazal are smarter than all the people today. Ashrei, me, Shabonov. In China, there's a shirk, in Japan, there's a shirk crisis for men. Men cannot get married because they are, you only have one child.
Both?
Both?
Japan never had the one child policy, only China.
China? So, there are millions of men that literally cannot find a girl. They just, the numbers, a number game. It's a number game. Like in America, so all the newspapers, they try to scare you into these, they give you all the statistics and numbers. They crank out numbers. Their numbers are a lot worse for men than they are for women. A lot worse. In any event, so what does Chazal mean? Ashrei mi shebonov zecharim v'oiloi l'mi shebonov nehiv. So it sounds like Chazal are putting down women. Now Rav Chudner, who said this vart, he had only one daughter, by the way. Okay, so here you have a man who had one daughter, is talking to a man who had two daughters. And both of them have in common that they don't have sons. Okay, so what does it mean? Is Chazal insulting humanity? Chazal, chas v'shalom, would go and put down a person only has boys and not girls. So he says that pshat is Ashrei mi shebonov. We're not discussing women. A person has a daughter. It's the biggest bracha. Maybe it's even the bigger bracha. Maybe they're right. Maybe a girl's even better than it. Because a girl, you know, a girl can have many. Whatever. We're not discussing women. Okay, women out, leave the room. We're only discussing the population of people who have sons. And the Pshan Chazal is Ashrei mi shebonov. Your male children behave like men. Shebonov zecharim. The oiloi, woe to a person who has male children who behave like girls. Okay? Now, we're not talking chas v'shalom about rachmana litzlan illness, okay, genetical things, okay, hormones. Let's put that aside. Okay, let's put that away. Let's talk about midos. There's a midah in a man, and there's a midah of a woman. A man has a certain midah, the chivshua mandate. And the mandate of a woman is called kivuda bas melech pinima. Okay, let's not talk genetics and any crazy things that we know the world today is beyond. But just in the world of midos, in halacha, in yados, a man is v'chivshua. My father always said the chivshua mandate, the duty to conquer the world. And the woman in Chazal is called kivuda bas melech penima. Okay, whatever that means, it means something very different. Oiloi, woe to the person who has 10 sons. But his 10 sons are following the mandate of kol kavuda bas melech penima. No. A man's role is to take the lead, to be a strong man, to go out there and conquer. A woman's role is kol kavuda bas melech penima. Everyone has to have their place. So here you see the role reversal. The pachad, the curse of pachad, turns a man into a woman. That's part of the curse of Abed Avex. Let's summarize. We learned today so many things, it's not even real. Not even all these studies, means the Armin Agra is not real. This parish over here is mamish, just dripping with gems, golden nuggets. Start off through Chazer, the Yisker Adirov, he turned everything about face. Who are the Adirov? the mighty men of Nebuchadnezzar. He disagrees with every single person on the page. Okay, every single one. The mighty men of Nebuchadnezzar. Who is Yizkor? Who is the subject of Yizkor? The citizens of Nineveh. When they watch the big screen and they see a soldier from Nebuchadnezzar is coming, marching forward, they're overwhelmed with pachad. To such a degree, they can't even walk to the bathroom. They trip on their way walking to the bathroom. Because they're fatracht. They're in a state of bahala. They stumble when they just move a few feet. They can't even walk. What do they then do when they compose themselves? They run into the bunker. They go into the bomb shelter. That's the same as everyone said pretty much. Yimaru choymosa. They run to the bunkers, to the walled cities, to the place of protection. And they cover the shelter. They shelter themselves from the missiles and from the enemy. Then it says something that's very unique. This is brand new. There are island cities. Nineveh is an island. It seems to say that Nineveh was an island city. I don't know what this means exactly. Or there are the different colonies of Nineveh. Chvesnisht, satellite affiliates of Nineveh, which were island cities that did not have a wall, but they had a very unique defense mechanism. And that is, they had some type of floodgate, some technology, which is not clear what this means, maybe we'll find it on Google, where they would somehow build up a wall of water, and when the enemy would come, they would open up the gate of this wall, a dam, and they would flood and they would destroy the enemy. But it came with a great price. If you would do that, it was suicidal, the country would also be flooded. And many citizens of the country in the process would also drown and die. But it was worth it. It was worth it for the greater good so that the country at least would survive. Scorched earth policy. Niftuchu, Shari Anaharos Niftachu, and in the process, Vahahechol Namog, the palace would also be flooded. And people would die, but it was worth it. Then it says, how did it? Now with Pasiches, the unique is describing the process of how they did this. Vihutsav. Hutsav means the stopper. The rubber stopper. Whatever material they use. The mikvah, they have the stoppers, right? The rubber stopper, whatever. The stopper, they pulled out. They pulled up. Vihutsav. The stopper is gulasa. You have to translate these words, a little bit complicated to translate these words, but the three words together mean, let's go read it backwards. The ho'alosa, the subject of the word ho'alosa is the stopper. The stopper was pulled up, and in the process, gulasa, the spring, he translates the word gulasa as a spring. Not as everyone else exiled. All the other commentators said the word gulasa means exile. The queen went into exile. No. Gulasa, the gulas ilis and the gulas tachtis. The gulas was, maybe, I'm not even sure, ho'alosa, maybe ho'alosa means, let's learn. Ho'alosa is modifying the gulasa. The spring surged and flooded when the hutsav, the stopper, was removed. The stopper, he rolled, also to roll, gulus also to roll. Okay, they rolled the stopper, like hutsav or gulus means they rolled, but he seemed to say the gulus means the spring. Okay, same idea. The stopper was removed, was lifted up, and thus the gulus, the spring flooded, was let loose, and then what happened? Two new words here, the amhoisecha min ha'agois. The amhoisecha means the irrigation canals flooded with water, and as it flooded with water, it made a lot of noise because water makes a lot of noise when it rushes, and the sound kikol yoinim. And when this sound came forth, the people were terrified. They knew that they were going to do suicide, basically. Scorched earth policy was suicidal, and misoyfifos al livevehen. They were pounding on their hearts. Recognizing they're now going to die themselves, they became girly men. All right, we're going to stop over here, take a short break, and then continue. Okay, we'll see. We're going to do today with
situation.
Yeah, we're going to continue. We're not going to do halacha today. We're not going to be. If we have time at the end, if we have time, Maddie, we'll do halacha. But we're going to start today with Targum Sheni. I have copies.
From yesterday.
Today is the yahrzeit of a great grandson of the.